the Shulchan Aruch and the Kesef Kedoshim, the Butchacher. This case that I had on the email, someone ordered a pair of tefillin. He ordered a pair of tefillin. I'm sorry, he sold his tefillin. Why, someone sold his tefillin because he had purchased another pair which was more mahoder, so he sold the other pair. And when he chose the new pair to the sofer, he found out that they were possible, so he returned those. And because he returned, the reason for his selling his own tefillin, he wanted to renege on the sale and get his own old tefillin back. Right here, he made it. It's a whole. The kinyan was made. He gave it. The other person had the tefillin in his house. Right, the tefillin had been sold fair and square. But he said, "Look, I only sold it to you because I thought I had these new tefillin that were good, and now I find out that they're no good. The deal's off." Okay, so let's read that Gemara. How gavred izavin lenichsei adai to lemesig leeretz Yisrael? Someone sold his property, planning on going to Eretz Yisrael, but beinah dezavin, at the time that he sold it, lo amar lo mean, he didn't say anything. He didn't say. He didn't make any stipulation. Amar Rava said, "Havi dvarim shebelev." That's dvarim shebelev. Or dvarim shebelev einam dvarim. Things that you keep in your heart, they don't count. Anything that's not stipulated clear does not make a difference in the sale. So once again, he said he's planning on going to Eretz Yisrael. Rashi's right. He sold his l'nichse. Rashi says in the Karko, he sold his property, his land, his real estate. And what happened was he was planning on going, but v'nenas, there was an onus happened below Allah, and he could not go to Eretz Yisrael. Whatever the deal fell through in Eretz Yisrael, or there was a war, there was some reason he couldn't get to Eretz Yisrael. So now he wants to say, "I want my money back. I want my property back, and I'll give you your money back." Right? So it's famous Gemara in Kedushin, Mem Tes Amud Beis. So Rav Paskins, it's Devarim Shebelev, a condition that you just have in your heart that you didn't speak out, that doesn't count. Devarim Shebelev, Einan Devarim. Things that you keep in your heart do not count in halacha. You have to say it, you have to say it clearly that you meant it. Right? So Rashi points out over there, I have it on the handout. He didn't say anything at the time of the sale. That he's selling. I'm selling it on the condition to go to Eretz Yisrael. Because if he would have explained it, if he would have said explicitly at the time of the sale, "I am selling it to you because I'm planning on going to Eretz Yisrael," so then the Avizvina would not be a good sale when his reason for going to Eretz Yisrael changes. That with this intention, he's not planning on living here without any means of livelihood. So the assumption is, once again, we have two halachas from this Gemara. If he doesn't say anything at the time of the sale, so then he can't get his property back. But if he did say something at the time of the sale, and the chiddush is here, even though he didn't make any condition, right? There's rules of tanoim. There has to be a tanai kofel. You have to say both sides of it. If this happens, I'm going to sell. If not, it shouldn't. There has to be tanai kodon lemaisa. There are all kinds of rules for tanoim, for a tanai to work, right? The lumdus is that if I do an action, right? It's a chiddush. If I do an action, my words, dibur doesn't go take away a maisa. I made a maisa kinyan. I made a kinyan. How are my words going to take it away? So it's a gzeres akasa that we learn from b'nei god of b'nei ruvain that a tanai works if you follow the rules of b'nei god of b'nei ruvain. Right? It has tanai kafel. You say both sides. The tanai kodem lemaisa. There are rules of tanai. That's the finish. That way, a tanai works. So here we're saying, even though you didn't keep the rules of tanoim, you just said, "Look, I'm planning on going to Eretz Yisrael. That's why I'm selling you my property." So the chiddush of this gemara is. The diuk from the Gemara, Tosfos makes the same diuk, that if you have a giloi da'as is tantamount to making a tanai. If you make a tanai, there you have to go into all the rules, make it the way it's, you have to make the tanai the way the halachas of tanaim are. But if you have a giloi da'as, so then that's even stronger than a tanai, and you just, megali, you just say, "This is what I'm doing it for," and that's enough to, cancel the sale. It's a big finish from the Gemara. And the Rishonim explain it. They go through different lamed is how it works. But the Gemara at least is certainly indicating that if I tell you that I'm selling this to you because I am planning on going to Eretz Yisrael at the time of the sale, so then it's then I can, and then for some reason I can't go, the sale is canceled. The Ran points out, this is on the second side of the handout. The Ran points out this is also mashma, the Gemara is mashma, that even if I told you beforehand, right, I have a for sale sign in front of my house, and you come and you say, you know, let's see the house, and you say, I'm selling it because I'm planning on going to Eretz Yisrael, and then you go home, and you come back a couple weeks later, and we make the contract. So at that time, at the time of the sale, when we made the deal, I didn't say that Giloy Das again, so it won't count. The Ran says, even though you mentioned it earlier, if you don't repeat it at the time of the sale, that's called Dvarim Shebelev. And Chassam Sofer says something very interesting. It's very in Yonah Diyuma. He says, even if Eliyahu Hanavi would come and tell us that when I was putting it on sale, it was because I was planning on moving, and something happened that I couldn't move, so it's not a Shiloh what I meant. Eliyahu Hanavi is telling me that's what I meant. It doesn't make a difference because there's a rule, Dvarim Shebelev Einim Dvarim. Things that I don't speak out don't make a difference. I have an action, a kinyan. If I just think about it, that doesn't make a difference. And he says, based on that, that's how our Mechiras Chametz works. Because let's say, let the guy do a good trick here. The guy coming every Pesach morning to the Rav to buy all the Chametz. And he tells his wife before he goes, I'm going to do all this stuff, but I don't really have a kavanah that it should be a good kinyan. Right? He is planning that it shouldn't be a good kinyan. So the Chassam Sofer says that doesn't make a difference what he thinks, because as long as he goes through the Maisim of the Kinyan and he doesn't say anything at the time, he doesn't make any Gilui Das at the end and say, yeah, I know it's all a fake. So Devarim Shevelev and Devarim, and the Chametz is all sold. Right? There's no way that they can make some conspiracy and ruin our let's read the Tosis together. The first thing I have on the handout on the second side there. That there's a Tosis and the Rush also is Paskin, the Ramah Paskin is in Shulchan Aruch, also in Reish Zayin, Siddalit. There's really three levels. Right, the first three ask the Kasha, how does this whole thing work over here? You need Tanai Kafel, you need all the rules of Tanai. So the Re says, Yeshtavim Shein Esrichim Tanai Kafel. Some things don't need a Tanai Kafel. Elo Gilei Milsa. All you need is a Gilei Milsa, the Anan Sadi, the Adai to the Achi of it. If we have an Anan Sadi, we know that that's why he's doing it, a Gilei Das is enough. Then he says, V'gam yesh tevarim, da'fil a Gilei Milsa le'boi. There are things that you don't even need a Gilei Milsa, you don't even have to say anything. K'gan ahi da'kosikon nechosu la'acherim. Right, if someone, first of all, he doesn't say it, others in Rishonim say, the case of a Shechivimara. A Shechivimara that gives away all his nechasim, and then he gets better. So the halacha is that the gift is cancelled, because we know, why is he giving everything away? Because he's on his deathbed, he thinks it's all over, and that's why he gives everything away. No one gives everything away if they think they're going to be around tomorrow, but then he suddenly recovers, so the Kenyan's bottle. Here that's an umdana, it's called the rules, it's an umdana de muchach, that's the Lashon of the Poskin. It's an umdana de muchach. Tosus brings this case that he had heard a rumor that his son had died, and because of that he gave all his nechasim to someone else, and then he found out his son is alive. So even though he didn't even say anything, he didn't say I'm giving them all away because I heard that about my son, he didn't say that, but that's an umdun and a muchach.
Then,
that's what the whole shiur is about. Yeah, we'll get to that. We're going to get to that. Yeah, that's a good point.
I know what an umdun is, I think, but what is the muchach?
Muchach means that it's muchach. It's there's no way out of it. Like there's no other. What's the svara?
Parents and eyes and parents.
Right. What's the svara when someone gives away all his property? Do you need anyone to? And he's on his deathbed. Do you need any commentary why he's doing that? Right. That's an umdun muchach. He doesn't. And that Tosa says you don't even need to say anything. He doesn't have to say, you know, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, and that's why I'm doing it. Tosa says there you don't even need
the circumstances.
Anything. Right. It's an umdun muchach. There's an interesting shaila that the Pnei Yeshua, and Shaila's Yeshua is Pnei Yehoshua. That Shaila's Yeshua's Pnei Yeshua is not by Pnei Yeshua. It's by Pnei Yeshua's grandfather, who's Magine Shalom, whose name's also Yeshua. I see some of the histories, they confuse them. But this is a shaila that my Hashem quotes it from the Pnei Yehoshua, his grandfather. And his shaila was, Reuven owed a lot of money to a landlord, and the landlord had a shibud on his house, and he was ready to take the house from Reuven. So to avoid that, Reuven went and sold his house to someone else, and he was telling everyone, "Hey, what's going on? They're taking my house." And he was Megala Das, and he sold the house. Then later on, his sister came to town and lent him a lot of money, enough that he could pay off his chov to the landlord, to that paritz. And now he wants to say, "Look, I only sold that house. I told you, I only sold the house because they're going to take it from me. So I'd rather get something from it. Now that I had the money, I want my house back." So the Pnei Yeshua has a big chiddush, and his chiddush is that this whole rule of Gilui Das does not apply to someone who is pressured for money. And his lesson is, in the handout I have, Maisim b'chol yom, b'bali b'ayis. You have Maisim b'chol every day. Someone is yardim nechseim, things are going bad. They don't have any money to buy food. So they sell property because they have that pressure. But then after a few years, fortune turns back to them and now they have money back again. So you're going to say that they can retract all those sales they made when things were bad? So same thing over here, he said, Reuven sold it because he was pressured for money. The fact that you're pressured for money is not enough of a Gilui Das to say that when the situation changes, I should be able to retract the sale. Okay, so you're right. So the Pnei Yeshua would say, if that was the case, if he was pressured to go because of financial reasons, he's saying financial pressure doesn't. If it's financial pressure that's causing the problem, it doesn't apply. The Maharsham though says he disagrees with it. The Maharsham in Mishpat Shalom, his Pirush Chosh Mishpat, says that doesn't make sense because Bishlama, if I sell something. I sell my property, and then a few years later, the stocks go back up, and now I have all my money back. Right, but in the meantime, this year I needed food, and when I sold my property to pay for that food right now, I needed it now, and I was nana from it. But to say, and then 2 years from now, when my fortunes change and I have the money again, I can't retract that sale. I was happy with that sale at that time. Reuven was talking about a case where he never used that money. Reuven was just selling the house to get rid of it, and this is before he paid the parutz, he got other money that he was able to give back. So the Maharsham says, in that case, the Gilui Das should still apply. But what we do see from the Maharsham is that this Gilui Das, right, we have to understand what we're talking about. We're talking about Gilui Das is playing a role where I don't get any benefit from that temporary sale. And the Maisa, there are other cases that he brings from the Marshal, the Marshal brings from the Shuas Marshal, that if someone sold his house and he's saying, because I'm planning on going out of town and I'm going to do business, I have a 3-year contract at a mill, and that's why I'm moving, and he moves, and a year and a half later he loses rights to the mill, the king takes it away from him, he can't say, well, I only sold it because of that condition. You used it for 1.5 years already. You used that sale for 1.5 years, and you can't say that it was a daitadachi, I wouldn't do it. You used it, and it's your mazel that caused the problem, the king, and the sale is valid. We're only a Gilui Das where before I have benefit, like I sold my house because I'm planning on going to Eretz Yisrael and never get to Eretz Yisrael. In fact, some of the Rishonim say that. Even if he said, I'm selling, if I'm selling my house because I'm planning on living in Eretz Yisrael, and he goes to Eretz Yisrael but he doesn't find a house there, he can't get his house back because he went to Eretz Yisrael. So what? He didn't find the house there, but he went to Eretz Yisrael. Right, could be anyway. That just happens. The case, right? That's right. That's right. Wherever you're moving out of town. That's why I'm selling my property. Right? The Torah says that. The Torah says. Right, the Torah saying something else. So that's one exception. The Torah says, and I think this is partial also, I think we spoke it out along the way, that this all is talking where there's outside circumstances that are preventing you from carrying out your plan. Right? If it's just you change your mind about going to Eretz Yisrael, right, everything's the same there. But, I got nervous about it and I don't want to go anymore. Look, I'm sorry, I decided not to go to Eretz Yisrael, I want my house back. That doesn't count. has to be talking where something happened. Rashi says that he was nenas, loola. He got sick, the war started, something happened that he couldn't make it. So then you could say, Adai Tadahachi, I didn't plan the sale. But Adai Tadahachi, that maybe I would change my mind. That, no such thing as that. I mean, right now I'm making it with a clear head, and this is what my plan is. I change my mind later, it's too late once you send your taxes and you can't change it. Okay, so up to here we would say it's a simple case, right? The tefillin, you sold your tefillin because you found new ones, and then you find the new ones are pasul. You never had the benefit of the sale of your old tefillin because the new ones you can't use, so you should be able to retract your sale. It should be open shut. But as Israel pointed out, Rashi said he sold a nichse mekarkoi. Rashi said he sold his karka. And the Rush on the first side of the handout is medayik from Rashi. He takes Rashi dafka, he takes it seriously. That Rashi said le nichse men mekarkoi. Because that's why there's a gilui das here, because people don't normally sell land from which they get their support. Right? This is his parnasa. He was selling his business. Unless he was planning on moving. When he finds that he can't move, so then we assume it's like a condition. He said, I was only selling it because I was planning on moving. I can't move. Otherwise, I wouldn't sell my parnasa. But if he, even if he sold all of his movable property, all his metatlin, his car, everything, even though he's saying because he's moving out of town and that's why he's selling everything, the sale will be valid unless he made a formal tanai with all the halakhs of tanayim. Why? Because sometimes people sell their things even though they're planning on staying in town. Right? There's no gilui das here. When I sell my land and I say because I'm moving, so then that action together with my words tell me that I'm moving. And if I end up not moving, the sale is forfeited. But if I sell all my movable property, it could be because I want to move to upgrade, I want to go to a different neighborhood, I want to be lighter, I want to be ready for something, I need some cash. But doesn't mean I'm moving, even though I say that I'm moving, but my action doesn't support those words. And if I decide not, if I end up not being able to move, I cannot retract the sale. So the Rush says, and this is passing in the Rama also, right, Reish Zayin Siv Gimel, Dakav Mocha Karka Osa, Vav Mocha Metatul, Lama Hani Gilei Daito. Gilei Das doesn't help if I'm selling Metatul, and Ache Yasne B'din Tanai, unless you make all the rules of tonight. Right, that's what you're thinking of. Right, when I'm selling property, and it seems from the Rush, the property from which I'm getting a parnasa, I don't know if it would apply. You know, if, you know, you have your house that you live in, so maybe it'll apply to that. Why am I selling my house? It must be because I'm moving. But if I own some apartment building somewhere else, okay, that also might be parnasa. But if it's not, I own another property. I have another from Yerusha. I have some property somewhere, and I sell that just because it's karka. I'm not sure if that, you know, that again would be, if it's not, I'm not living there, I'm not getting parnasa from it, I'm just selling it because, it could be I'm selling it because I don't want it, I would rather have cash on hand.
I don't know if this would apply at all.
No, and the truth is, the Aruch HaShulchan does say that if you're in real estate, so then it doesn't make, then it doesn't apply. He says that because, okay. Yeah, because if you're in real estate, it doesn't apply, because then you don't have numdun amuchach. My question will be, what you started saying, which might be, it's not, you're in real estate so much, but maybe we say, like, there's still a difference between karka and metatlin, because I say I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, I'm selling my land, that I can't take with me, the other things I can't take with me. But still, the Rush is Lashon seem to be that a person doesn't sell the place where the things that he gets support from. If it's something that I just have and I, you know, that I don't get some support from, it just, if it was a Yerusha, something that I don't need anymore, I couldn't sell my house. So then, I finally sold it because I'm leaving. So I don't know if that, you know, my old house. So then it might not apply. Now I don't know. Don't do this lemaisa yet. But I think there could be room to say that even if you have a contract with someone, and there's always a contingency that the house is only sold on the condition that my house goes through somewhere else, and there's a time limit for that. But it could be that, you know, that even that this halacha might override the contract, because this halacha is overriding a real formal sale when there's no condition, when there's no tanai, and I made a kinyan, I can still retract it because I made a gilei das and I said it was based on my moving, and that overrides a kinyan without any conditions. So it could also, maybe it'll override a stipulation that's in a standard contract. And here I'm saying that even though I might have been limited or a certain time is up, but something happened now, you know, after those 2 weeks, 2 months are up, it could be maybe I could still override the contract. The shaila will be whether din of the mechusa din makes a minhag hamakom yet, but that might be something to think about.
When a stipulation doesn't deal with the gilui das, or it also is about the same subject as the gilui das,
what?
The stipulation in the contract. That's when the stipulation contract is about a different matter.
No, so even if it's the stipulation limits me and says that I have 2 months to, if at the end of 2 months I don't come back, the sale is finished, and the sale is now valid. So it could be even after the 2 months something comes up that I can't end up going. Right, and the post can say that they bring from the Rashba that this Gilo Das could be even years later something happened that ruined my intention, so then I can come back, as long, the Marshan points out, as I didn't have any benefit of the sale in the meantime. Then we get back to that that limitation we said, that if you started getting some benefit from it, so then you can't use this Gilo Das clause. So it seemed the metatlin from the Rashi, it seems that they're not included here, because people sell metatlin all day. The way the Bach puts it, the Bach brings to the Mordechai that it's a suffik about metatlin. Some sofer explains that the suffik is that whether we know the Chachmei Ashas said by karka, people don't sell their thing, their karka, amenas to go to Eretz Yisrael, by metatlin it's a suffik. So once we say suffik, so the poskim want to say that it'd be a mosim chaveir olav araya. That's what some sofer says. The Marsham says that it could be that the Shulchan Aruch disagrees. I'm sorry. Some sofer says that the Shulchan Aruch could disagree with the Ramah. The Ramah said that, and the Shulchan Aruch didn't say it. So that also makes it like a sveika didina by metatlin, because the Ramah says the Shulchan Aruch didn't. The Marsham says no, but in the Beis Yosef, the Tor quoted in the Beis Yosef didn't argue with the Tor. He just didn't say it because he held it's the same. He held that, you know, that it's not nogea. This far is clear. So it's a shaila. It's a shaila in halacha whether it applies to metatlin. The Ramah says clearly it does not apply. It would certainly seem that if the money was already paid, the seller had the money and the other person had the property, had that metatlin, had whatever it was that he sold, the car, whatever it was, he would have a hard time getting the car back, because it'd be a Muslim chavel of a raya, and the Ramah, the buyer could say, look, Kimli like the Ramah and like Rashi and like these other Rishonim, and even if it's a suffik, because the Shas didn't go into what the halacha should be, but I have the money now, I'm mufsuk, not the money, I have the objects, I'm mufsuk, I don't have to give it back. So based on that, we should say by the tefillin, right, the tefillin or metatlin, and I sold the metatlin, the buyer is holding the metatlin now, he's holding the tefillin, I should have no way to get them back, because this gilei das only helps if it's my parnasa, and I'm doing it because I'm leaving, I don't want to leave myself without parnasa, but tefillin or metatlin doesn't apply to that. However, there's another svara. The Marsham brings from a Zohar l'Avraham, a case that there was a Talmid Chacham that never sold his svarim. It's an inyan not to sell your svarim. Even if you finished with it, you know, you never know when you're going to use it again. So, and then all of a sudden, this Talmid Chacham went and was selling his svarim because he was planning on moving to out of the country. And then something came up, and he did not make the trip. He could not make the trip anymore. So, the Zohar l'Avraham paskin that even though it's metatlin, and by metatlin we say that there's no such gilei das, it's not strong enough, it's only a suffik at best, but over here, a Talmid Chacham without his svarim is like a plumber without his wrench. Right? And that puts it back into, like the karka, the whole svar of the karka was a person doesn't leave himself without a parnasa, A plumber doesn't leave himself without a wrench. A lawnmower doesn't leave himself without a lawnmower. Right? The person doesn't leave himself without the machine. Right? A dentist doesn't leave himself without that drill to... Right? If he sells that, and this he brings to Maisa, that it's not only by the Talmud Chacham, by anyone, that selling his tools of the trade, and he says, he's Megala Das, that I'm doing it because I'm moving out of town, and then something comes up that he can't make the move, so then certainly the halacha would be that it's just like karka, and he would be able to get his property back, the Talmud Chacham could get the svarim back, the dentist gets his drill, the... And Mimela, the Kesef Kadashim, the Butchachu. What? Right, there was Gilei Das. But we said it was Metatlin, it shouldn't help. But here we're now saying, but with this type of Metatlin, which is your trade, that's like Karka again, that's like your Parnassa. Well, so the Kesef Kadashim says, it's not quite, it's not quite.
I can't function without it, just like a plumber.
Well, so it doesn't have to be connected
to Parnassa. Right, so let's read the Kesef Kadashim in the bottom of the handout. Someone sold his tefillin because he had new ones. And he said that he was selling them. And I'm selling mine because I have new ones which are nicer. And the new ones were puzzle. So nira, it seems to me that that will be an umdana. It's a non-sadi. It's a gilui das that could be mevatel the sale. Now this bracket is from the Kesef Kadashim itself. Gansha causes of Harama, even though the Rama wrote Sheva Metatan Lo Mahani Gilei Das, that Gilei Das doesn't help by movable objects. Tzrichin Loma, we have to say that Tefillin Shani, that Tefillin are different. The Fitam Shekasa Asma, for the same reason that the Asma wrote, that taken from the Shonim, the Adam Ocher Metatan Deneko, that people sell metatlin easily. It's not like land, and that's why you can't get the thing back if your reason changes. But tefillin, tefillin is something you don't sell unless you have another pair. So the Kesef Kadashim says that the tefillin would be like the case of a craftsman selling his tools of the trade, which will get back to the din of karka. So summing up, we have this famous Gemara in Kedushin that tells us that, at least we're medayik from the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say that case. The Gemara says, though, that is medayik, that if you're megaladas at the time of a sale, your reason for selling your karka, and we saw now that it applies to also something that's your parnasa, even if it's metatalin, and that reason disappears for reasons not your own, your own anus, so then you have the right to cancel the sale, because we say it's an anansadi, that it's like a condition that you wouldn't have sold under such circumstances. But we said from the round that even though you had been megaladas earlier in the beginning of the negotiations, but if you did not say that at the time of the sale, it doesn't help. It has to be at the time of the sale, and some say at least at the time of when it's all the agreements are made, it has to be clear that this was what your reason was. We saw that it only applies where you had no benefit at all from the money that you got from the sale. If you had some benefit already from the money, then you can't say, well, things change now and I want to get the thing back. You already had benefit from it, like the case with the millstone, the case where, you know, he already had some benefit of that year and a half he was living there. You can't say, well, I was planning on 3 years. That it doesn't apply there. The metatlin, the pashtus, it doesn't apply by metatlin. The Rama says it clear. The Rashi and the Rosh say it. The others say it's a suffek. But certainly we'd say hamasim echaveil or all of araya. If the person already has your metatlin, the buyer already has it, you'll have a hard case getting it back. Unless, once again, unless it's something that no one ever sells, like his tools that he uses for his job, that certainly he's only selling because he's moving, and now that his move falls through, he can get them back. And then the Kesef Kadashim seems to take it one step further. Something like tefillin, that no one sells their tefillin unless they're planning on having a new pair right here, and that pair falls through, so they're also they'd be able to get their money back. Hey, just if you want to think about next week's case, it's going to be similar, it's on the same lines, if you want to think about it in the meantime. I think this is next week's case. There's someone was an Esrog dealer in Eretz Yisrael, and he had a monopoly in France. And he has a special deal with the Mocher Svarim in Eretz Yisrael, and the Mocher Esrogim in Eretz Yisrael, that he gives them double the price that the Israeli Machron give him, in order that he should have first shot at it, and he gets, you know, the biggest and best supply. But then he takes his difference, since he's a monopoly there, he could sell it for twice, he makes a double profit there also. So that's what he was doing. But 1 year, the thing, this is a real case for the Mishpat Shlomo, that 1 year the thing, he got to France and he saw that there were local people were already selling esrogim at normal prices. If he would sell it at his, at that price, he would take a loss. Because of that, he wanted to bring them back, because he says, look, this is a gilei das, I was nekal das, I'm doing it because I'm selling it at France at this price, I see I can't sell it at France, I want to cancel the sale. So that's what we're going to talk about next week.